This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Obamacare may survive. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenko, Wednesday, October 18. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
A bipartisan agreement has been reached between two senators that would preserve the federal subsidies that President Trump wants to end.
For the second time, a federal judge in Hawaii has ruled against the White House travel ban. Hear his reasons why.
Republicans' plans for tax reform legislation have hit a snag as GOP Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky objects to a budget proposal.
And after losing to the Dodgers again, the defending champion Cubs trail the NLCS 3 games to none.
Taylor, base hit, past Bryant, into the left field corner. Peterson will score. Taylor's on his way to third. Here's a throw, head first slide, and he is safe. Chris Taylor with a home run in the third, triples into the left field corner, scoring Peterson here in the fifth.
Charlie Steiner on KLAC Radio. Part of the reason the Cubs face elimination tonight might be because of the Taco Bell curse. We'll explain it. Start in Washington. Two U.S. senators have reached a bipartisan agreement to shore up Obamacare for 2 years by resuming federal subsidies for health insurance companies that President Trump wanted to get rid of. In addition, the president has indicated his support for the plan, from Republican Senator Lamar Alexander from Tennessee and Democrat Patty Murray of Washington.
Chairman Alexander and I were able to find common ground on a number of steps to stabilize the markets and to help protect families from premium spikes as a result of the sabotage we have seen from this administration.
It's not clear, by the way, if Mr. Trump supports this as a long-term solution. The agreement meets Democratic objectives, such as restoring the subsidies and $106 million in funding for a federal program that helps people enroll in insurance plans. In exchange, Republicans would get more flexibility for states to offer a wider variety of health insurance plans while maintaining the requirement that sick and healthy people be charged the same rates for coverage. The subsidies to private insurers cost the government an estimated $7 billion this year and were forecast at $10 billion for 2018. A federal judge in Hawaii has blocked President Trump's new effort to impose a travel ban. The ruling came yesterday on the eve of the policy taking full effect. District Judge Derek Watson said the ban was likely unlawful and issued a temporary restraining order that prohibits the Trump administration from enforcing it for the 8 countries listed. Mr. Trump is trying for the third time to impose a travel ban, saying the measures are needed to protect national security. Hawaii Attorney General Douglas Chin.
Anytime you have this kind of discrimination taking place, it might happen to one person, but if you let it go, then that means the next time it's going to affect other people and people who belong to other religions.
Judge Watson, an Obama appointee, said the new restrictions make improper judgments about the risks of certain travelers based on their nationality. The latest travel ban sought to apply a range of restrictions to people from Chad, Iran, Libya, North Korea, Somalia, Syria, Venezuela, and Yemen. It was slated to go into full effect today. Senate Republicans are trying to shore up support for a budget resolution vital to President Trump's push to overhaul the U.S. tax code. As the Senate opened debate on a budget yesterday, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul objected to spending levels that he said would exceed agreed caps by $43 billion. Senate Republican aides denied that the budget resolution exceeds federal spending caps that were set back in 2011. Meanwhile, President Trump is using most of his public appearances now to push tax reform, speaking yesterday at the Heritage Foundation.
So let's give our country the best Christmas present of all. Massive tax relief.
The budget resolution already had little margin for error to pass in the Senate, where Democrats oppose the measures and Republicans have only a 52-48 majority. A no vote from Senator Paul appeared to put the budget a single vote from failure, threatening to upend Mr. Trump's effort to rewrite the complicated American tax laws. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. We're coming to you today from the Dell studios. Need help finding the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors for your business? Call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell small business tech advisor. North Korea's deputy UN ambassador has announced Pyongyang's plan to launch more satellites as part of a space development program. But many United Nations members, including the U.S., feel that North Korea's space program is actually a cover for its weapons program. Meanwhile, a UN report earlier this year examined in detail how North Korea has been successfully evading sanctions and how a wide range of countries have helped it do so. Wall Street Journal executive editor Jerry Seib says President Trump deserves credit for creating the pressure that is starting to cut off such activities. Jerry set this up.
You know, there is this notion that because North Korea is, in fact, pretty isolated in the sense that it's cut off from the world in a lot of ways and is, you know, diplomatically pretty isolated, that it's actually a kind of a hermit country that's with an economy that's cut off from the rest of the world, and so there's not much more you can do with economic sanctions. But that's really not true, and I bored in particular on a UN Security Council report that came out earlier this year that went into some voluminous detail about the ways that North Korea has, with the help from other countries, figured out how to get around existing economic sanctions and, in fact, keep hard currency flowing into the country, as well as some pieces of equipment for its missile and nuclear programs. And so I think the underlying message is that there's still more work to do, more distance to travel in terms of really cutting off North Korea from the international economic system, if that's your goal, and to cut off its access to help and hard currency from abroad. That, you know, nominally that work has been underway for a while. In reality, I think the enforcement has been pretty lax, and other countries haven't participated in making sure that those kinds of restrictions are in place, and now it appears that's finally beginning.
All right, so I was reading this, my jaw dropped open. Explain what happened in like a place like Namibia.
Well, Namibia is an interesting case study because it's so far off the radar screen, but that's why it's kind of unfolded the way it is. So one of the things North Korea produces that others, one of the few things that North Korea produces that other people in the world actually want are giant statues and monuments of the kind that they have erected all over the country to honor their own leaders, Kim Jong-un and his father and grandfather, and it's kind of a cult of personality. And one of the effects of that is there is an entire industry that's built up and a particular company that's built up in North Korea to build giant honorific statues and memorials and monuments. And Namibia is a country that wanted such a monument as a national museum to its independence and its revolution, and a statue to honor a guy named San Nujoma, who was the, you know, kind of the George Washington of Namibia, the revolutionary leader. So they went to North Korea to get this statue built and the independence museum built, and North Korea sent a bunch of workers, did that, built that museum, erected that statue, and in the process earned a lot of hard currency, which it needs to keep its economy, you know, growing, while it also spends a lot of money on nuclear weapons and missiles. At the same time, the UN found that this company that built the monument and the statue was also a front for what prohibited North Korean activity, which is arms exports and construction of a munitions factory in Namibia for Namibia. And those things are prohibited under UN sanctions, but under the cover of the company that's building the statue, they also got arms shipments and a munitions factory. So this is the kind of thing that the UN report earlier this year said needs to stop, and so the UN has basically banned people from buying statues from North Korea, and Namibia has promised to shut off dealings with this country, but, you know, in a way, that horse is already out of the barn. And that example is repeated all over Africa, and similar things are happening elsewhere.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal executive Washington editor Jerry Seib. Pardon my cynicism, but besides nothing, what is the UN doing?
Well, the UN is actually can do very little. UN nation member states have to do the work, and the problem here has been they haven't been very eager to do that. Everybody is pays lip service, and sometimes they don't actually produce the kind of results that you want. But I think that and the Trump administration deserves some credit for this. I think that attitude has changed in the last few months. It's partly the kind of alarm that internationally you see over the pace of North Korean weapons production and nuclear advances, and partly more pressure from the U.S. to get serious about this. And as I said, the question now is twofold. Will President Trump be willing to give that process enough time to work, A, and B, is it too late to really stop the North Korean train moving down the nuclear track, or should this all have been done some years ago?
Thanks, Jerry. It's Wall Street Journal Executive Washington Editor Jerry Seib. 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, hoping to stabilize teetering health insurance markets, two leading senators have reached a bipartisan deal to fund critical subsidies to insurers that President Trump moved a few days ago to cut off. Senators Lamar Alexander, a Tennessee Republican, and Penny Murray, a Democrat from Washington State, announced their accord yesterday after weeks of negotiations. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer supports the measure.
2 years of cost sharing provides real stability to the system, and we want to make sure that happens. We want to work in the long term to reduce premiums and increase coverage. Our Republican colleagues seem to be in the opposite place on the long term.
Under this plan, the payments would continue for 2 years, while states are given more leeway to let insurers sidestep some coverage requirements imposed by the current health care law. Senate Republicans are scrambling to ensure support for a budget resolution vital to President Trump's drive to overhaul the tax code, after Senator Rand Paul said he wouldn't vote for it unless it keeps within the spending caps. White House Budget Director Mick Mulvaney says this needs to move forward.
I think most folks in the Republican Party and the American people want tax reform this year.
Yep.
In order to get that done, we really do need to stay on schedule, which means that we need to pass this budget on Friday. If you don't pass the budget on Friday, it doesn't mean tax reform is dead forever, but it means we're just off of schedule.
Paul says he wants to be supportive, but that the Senate has to obey its own rules. Dallas Cowboys star Ezekiel Elliott has been granted another legal reprieve in the running back's fight to avoid a 6-game suspension over domestic violence allegations. A New York federal judge issued a temporary restraining order last night, blocking the league suspension, clearing Elliott to play Sunday at San Francisco. Dodger pitcher Yu Darvish shut down the Cubs, putting Chicago on the verge of being swept in the NLCS for the second time in 3 years after last night's 6-1 loss. In the ALCS, the Yankees came from behind to knock off the Astros 6-4 to tie that series at 2 games apiece. Both series resume this evening.
What's going on with the Cubs?
Oh,
on the brink.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Could your important financial documents weather an emergency, like the recent wildfires in California or the hurricanes and their flooding? We're talking about things like wills, Social Security cards, birth certificates, passports. Here's how to protect your critical paperwork from Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. Kelly, what should we know?
Well, of course, there are a lot of scary stories that come out of big disasters. We've seen the California wildfires, some of the recent hurricanes, which including a lot of flooding. And when you're in an emergency situation like that, the thing you do not want to have to think about is what's going on with all of your important financial documents. You want to be focused on your family's safety. So it really helps to have a plan in place ahead of time so that you can do what you need to do to be safe, and know also that you'll have all the documents that you need in a safe place that are going to help you recover and rebuild.
Yeah, you know, and I think your point's especially critical here, because as you've read and we've talked about on the show, I mean, some of these people, especially in Northern California, had seconds to react.
Exactly.
To get out of the
house.
And when
you have that little time to react, like, that's not the time where you go like, geez, I need a copy of my insurance policy.
Yeah.
You need to be using that time to get yourself to safety.
All right. So the plan. So obviously you need some sort of plan. What do you do?
Yes. So the experts, when we're looking at this sort of thing, you need to be thinking about how can you safeguard the physical documents, but also what can you do to make sure that you have digital access to all the important documents as well? Because, like, in a case, like, say, with these fires, you know, maybe you don't have time to grab the documents. Or if you're on vacation and your home is damaged and you're not going to be able to get back in potentially for days or weeks, or if the property is severely damaged, you know, that's going to be potentially problematic. So you want to be thinking about that as a two-part solution.
All right, meaning what?
So first, gather anything that you think might be difficult or inconvenient to replace. There are a lot of really good guides online. The Red Cross has done one in conjunction with the AICPA, National Endowment for Education. They do a lot of this sort of education here. So there's a pretty good list. That would include anything like wills, birth certificates, social security cards, passports, and then also think about anything that you would need to recover. So you'd want to make sure you had copies of, say, your insurance policies, your property deeds, contact for your insurance agent, that sort of thing.
Mm. We're speaking with Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. How about like an old school firebox? Do those things work?
Yes. So when you're talking about, protecting the physical documents, once you sort of have them all in one place, you want to be thinking about where's a safe place to keep them. And there are fireproof or at least fire-resistant, watertight safes that you can look at for that, or experts often recommend looking at things off-site in, say, like a safe deposit box.
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. If you travel for business, you know it's a game of wins and losses. Popping open an overhead bin and finding it empty? Win. Sleeping through a wake-up call? Loss. Buying your business trip at Upside.com? That's not just a win, it's a triple win. Number one, Upside has the absolute best available prices for flights, hotel, and rental cars. Win number two, Upside will reward you with a gift card to places like Amazon.com every time you buy a business trip. And number three, the amazing six-star treatment you'll get from Upside's customer service specialists, who they call navigators. And I'm going to start your Upside six-star treatment right now. Go to Upside.com and use my code DEAL, and you'll get a minimum $100 gift card to Amazon.com. That's code DEAL for a minimum $100 gift card to Amazon.com when you buy your next business trip at Upside.com. Upside.com, you deserve a better business trip. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details.
Listen to us anytime on TuneIn at This Morning, America's First News with Gordon Deal, and on Stitcher at This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday, October 18. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: bipartisan Senate deal on Obamacare. Trump's travel ban blocked again by a judge in Hawaii. Senator Paul threatens tax reform. Attorney General Jeff Sessions faces a Senate panel today, could face questions on his Russian contacts. The NFL says it won't penalize players who kneel during the national anthem. A drone crashed into the wing of a passenger plane in Canada. And is Taco Bell the reason the Cubs are on the brink of elimination? That story in about 20 minutes. Well, Habitat for Humanity has kicked off the repair and rebuilding phase of its Habitat Hammers Back Hurricane Recovery Initiative in Houston. It began yesterday. We're joined now by Habitat CEO Jonathan Reckford. Jonathan, what are you up to?
Excited to be talking to you from Houston, Texas, where we announced Habitat Hammers Back, which is our total response to the devastating impact of Hurricanes Harvey, Irma, and Maria. We want to help more than 2,000 families across Texas rebuild, more than 2,000 families across Florida rebuild, and more than 2,000 families across Puerto Rico rebuild after these devastating hurricanes. And that'll be a mix of repairs and new construction all across the region.
My goodness. How do the different families get chosen?
The way we choose the families is based on need. We really focus on low-income homeowners. And then we look to work with those who are willing to partner with us and need a gap between insurance or FEMA or other supports, they still need more help, and they need a trusted contractor who can come in and do the work for them as well. So the sad news is there are tens of thousands of families that need that help, and we're trying to figure out ways to help as many as we possibly can.
How long do you expect the project will last, Jonathan?
So we expect this will be a 3 to 5 year effort. That sadly, I think, our collective attention span is short, and a lot of attention is paid in the emergency response, where most of the money goes, and then we've got years of hard work to do the reconstruction and rebuilding. But Habitat for Humanity has experience in, sadly, responding to too many natural disasters around the world, and we have been in these communities for decades, and we're here for the long term.
What do you do in a place like Houston? You're going to rebuild and fix homes that are kind of in a flood threat area again?
So what we try to do is build in a way that makes sure that those families will be resilient. So the community we're in right now had never flooded in history.
Okay.
So this was really unprecedented. And, you know, this was the largest rain event in the history of the United States. So we actually believe this community, with a little bit of mitigation for drainage, will be very safe for a long time to come. But we make sure that if we're going to build in any area that's at risk, that we build in a way that house wouldn't flood the next time. So whether that's putting it at a higher elevation or other areas, elements of mitigation, we want to make sure that we're putting the family in a safe situation.
For the folks who get a new home rebuilt, do they resume a mortgage, I guess? Or how does that work?
So it's situation by situation. Generally, yes. So if a family gets a new home and they didn't actually were a renter before, then they would, in our traditional model, they would pay back an affordable mortgage, and we would recycle their payments back to help other families. If a family is already a homeowner and is already paying a mortgage, then we would be getting them back into the position that they could continue to make their mortgage payments and trying to fill the gap on the repairs. So it is context-specific, but in the new homes, generally, the families would be taking on mortgages.
What are the other partners who are joining you guys?
So we are blessed with a wonderful group of partners. The group, along with Thrivent Financial, that catalyzed this effort that we're building with today here, are also Dow Chemical, a longtime partner for us, General Motors, similarly, and a new partner for us, members of the American Wind Energy Association, who have come together to support Habitat's rebuilding work.
Yeah.
We are grateful for your help in tell the story. I think one of the things that people don't know is this is going to take a lot, and we estimate it'll take about $100 million. So we do need advocates, we need volunteers, but we also need financial resources for the scale of rebuilding that's required, and we're grateful for the support.
It's Jonathan Reckford, CEO of Habitat for Humanity, with us from Houston. 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. If you like some cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly on Twitter @GordonDeal. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin, also known as @RadioGavin1.
I'm there.
We don't really call him that around the office, but that's what he's known online on Twitter. He's here with a look now at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, if you're going to rob someone, it's probably good practice to have an idea of who you're targeting and perhaps their athletic ability. That information would have been useful for some thieves who attempted to rob two San Francisco 49ers linebackers early Monday morning. According to newspaper and police reports, Ray Armstrong and Reuben Foster were at a club after Sunday's loss to Washington and noticed a car casing the premises. Foster said it left him feeling like he was going to be robbed, and he handed his watch and rings to a friend in the club before leaving. A security guard walked the players to their car, but two hooded gunmen still attempted to rob them, prompting the players to use their speed and flee on foot. Veteran police officers praised Foster and Armstrong for their quick thinking, being smart enough to have a security guard escort them to their car in the first place. As for whether it's better to run or submit to armed robbers, another veteran cop said that running is simply human nature, but for those of us who run more slowly than young NFL players, it may be a riskier move.
Okay, what else are you supposed to do, though?
Well, no, I mean, what they're saying is, you know, someone's got a gun in your face,
yeah.
You're just hand over your stuff, is what they're saying.
Okay.
Not try and run away for risk of getting shot. That's what it is. I mean, these guys really did, I guess, risk that by doing that. But again, they're, you know, they're young NFL linebackers.
Right.
They thought they could outrun them, and I guess they did. So
wow,
so,
that's something.
I mean, you know, and luckily, I guess, again, for the armed robbers, that the, you know, players didn't use their strength on them either. I mean,
right.
You know, linebackers are not the people you want to be attacking, so you might want to have an idea of what you're dealing with once you get into that situation.
How about just who was it, by the way, who just sort of sensed that the place was being cased?
Yeah.
Handed off his watch and rings to a friend. That's a pretty smart move.
I'm not nearly that observant. That would not be whatsoever. I would have fallen right into this trap.
Yeah. I normally exit clubs at around 9:15 p.m. so I can be in bed by 9:45. So this is not an issue for me.
Yeah, that's the other thing. The club is actually still closed by the time we're going to bed. And believe it or not, Thanksgiving is only a little more than a month away, and it looks like maybe the turkeys may have gotten wind and also gotten a little cranky. A Massachusetts police department is warning residents to beware of aggressive turkeys after a flock of the birds was caught on camera chasing a patrol car. The Bridgewater Police Department posted a video to Twitter showing a group of territorial turkeys chasing after a slow-moving patrol car in the city. Experts say turkeys can become aggressive when they become accustomed to humans, usually through feeding. They said people targeted by the birds should attempt to startle them with noise, movements, or squirting them with water.
Oh.
Now, if I'm a turkey,
yep.
You know, and it's Thanksgiving's only a month away.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want to be laying low if you're a turkey? Is this the time you should be drawing attention to yourself?
I don't think so, Mike. I think that's the conservative approach. You want to be on the attack.
Okay.
You want to be sending a signal that you are not going down without a fight.
Right. So much like these 49ers, you're going to take the aggressive approach.
That's correct.
Instead of submitting.
You're not going to lie there and take it like some victim. No, they're going out and forcing the issue and saying...
Yeah, I don't know.
It's going to be an issue.
Here's what I think happened. After years of taking that tact, or taking the tact of just kind of waiting for their attackers to come, right, the turkeys, I think, are changing their strategy now and attacking.
I can relate, by the way. I do get aggressive around feeding time as well. You know, I get a little cranky. It's tough for me to be around other humans when it's time to eat, you know, grabbing stuff off the kid's plate. You going to eat that? You going to finish that? That's what happens in my house. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. How about this? Too much exercise can apparently be very risky. Researchers in Chicago have found that white men who work out at least 7.5 hours a week are nearly twice as likely to suffer from heart disease than those who do a moderate amount. The study compared 25-year exercise patterns and made the surprising discovery that very active white men are 86% more likely to experience a buildup of plaque in the heart arteries by middle age. It was suggested high levels of exercise over time cause stress on the arteries, leading to higher coronary artery calcification, also known as CAC or CAC. However, scientists warn people should not stop exercising. The study co-author, Dr. Jamal Rana, cardiologist at Kaiser Permanente in Oakland, California, clarified by saying this plaque buildup may be of the more stable kind and thus less likely to rupture and cause heart attack, which was not evaluated in the study. However, they found that the top level of exercise, there was no extra risk for black men. It's an interesting study. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Here's Jennifer Kashenka with more news.
Reported just hours before President Trump's latest travel ban was to take full effect, a federal judge in Hawaii blocked the revised order, saying the policy has the same problems as a previous version. The district judge says the revised order suffers from precisely the same maladies as its predecessor. Hawaii Attorney General Douglas Chin explains why his state is leading the opposition.
This executive order goes against everything that the state of Hawaii stands for, which is diversity, inclusivity, just aloha. I mean, just everything that is what makes Hawaii so special.
The ruling prevented the Trump administration from enforcing the travel ban set to go into effect today. It was the third set of travel restrictions issued by the president to be thwarted in whole or in part by the courts. Lawyers for President Trump are asking a federal judge to toss a civil lawsuit accusing the president of violating the Constitution because his businesses accept money from foreign governments. In a court hearing in New York today, Justice Department lawyers are expected to argue that the ban on foreign money is meant only to address gifts to the president in his official capacity. They have said Trump's business arrangements are a political question, not a legal one, and should be addressed by Congress, not the courts. The Chicago Department of Aviation has fired two officers involved in that incident that rocked the airline industry earlier this year when officials dragged a doctor down the aisle of a United Airlines plane. The airline later confirmed the physician and his wife had been involuntarily bumped to make room for crew members. The Inspector General's investigation concluded several Chicago aviation security officers mishandled the situation and used excessive force. The marquee matchup on opening night for the NBA was marred by a gruesome injury. Newly acquired forward Gordon Hayward of the Celtics had to be carted off the floor after dislocating his left ankle and fracturing his tibia in the game against the Cavaliers. The injury shook everyone in the arena, including Cleveland's Dwayne Wade.
Man, that's tough, man. You know, it takes a few. It takes a little while. I've never seen nothing like that before. And only thing you can do in that moment is pray.
The Cavs went on to win the game 102-99 as former Cav Kyrie Irving missed a potential game-tying three-pointer at the buzzer.
Did you look at the video?
I did not, and I don't want to.
I'm not. I'm done with that. I used to look out of curiosity. And
remember Joe Theismann?
Yep.
I just don't want to see this.
I don't want to see it anymore. I agree. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Fans of the Chicago Cubs are famous for demonstrating fierce loyalty to the most beloved traditions and symbols. That's why there's a new reason for why their team is on the brink of elimination from the playoffs after winning the World Series last year. Taco Bell. The Wall Street Journal says the fast food joint across the street from Wrigley Field was part of a property sale to a developer that plans to replace the restaurant with a three-story retail complex. Since its opening in 1994, the Taco Bell has embraced its fortuitous location. An oversized Cubs hat hangs from a large Taco Bell sign out front. Cubs flag flies on the roof. The love for Taco Bell stems from the cheap food after nights of heavy drinking. Michael Paladines, who managed the restaurant for 2 years, not long after it opened, recalled the night a pair of streakers entered the front door, ran around the restaurant naked for a few minutes, then left. Part of the experience, he said. If the Dodgers beat the Cubs again tonight, the Cubs are out of the playoffs and the curse of Taco Bell may be born. Pitch time, 9 o'clock from Wrigley. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.